If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Haggai. One of the problems in the that is addressed in the book of Haggai is that the people had houses, and they did a lot of work around their own homes and their own houses, but they were neglecting the house of God. And I have thought a lot about all the different things that could be done around the house of God. I know that last year somebody, and I'm not sure who did it, but somebody planted some flowers out around the tree and around the sign out front. It looked real pretty. And quite often I see things that have been done and I wonder, well, now, who did that? All of us, in our own quiet way, we could do things around the house of God. And I know that the church is the people. I understand that. But even in the people, there are things that we can be doing that will help those people along their journey in life. If you have your Bibles now, look at Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. The Word of God says, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord." Isn't that a good way to start the new year? Is just to know that God is with us. "I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant," notice now, not all the people, "but the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God." The main expression that's on my heart this morning is that they came and did work. They came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. I pray that God will help all of us to understand that we have the privilege to work in the house of the Lord our God. The house of the Lord is a great blessing. The people of God being able to come to the house of the Lord is a great blessing. Coming and worshiping is a great blessing. But there are many, many different works for the people of God to do in the house of the Lord our God. When there are those that are sick, it is important that we carry food to try to help them during their great difficulty. I'm not talking about every time somebody has a sniffle or a cold, but when there is great sickness and a family is having a great amount of trouble, the church has a work to do. There are those that lose loved ones, and when they lose loved ones, we have a work to do, to go and comfort them during their time of sorrow in losing loved ones. There are cards that we can write, letters that we can write. There are calls that we can make. There are all different kinds of ways that we can show love one to another. That song that we just sang was full of works that the people of God should be doing in the house of the Lord our God. There are physical works that can be done, but there are also spiritual works that need to be done. There needs to be a lot of praying before we come to the house of God, but there ought to be a lot of praying in the house of God. When you come into the house of God, you need to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And all during the worship service, we need to be praying. Sometimes when we are singing, there are times that I realize that I am not singing in the Spirit. And I have to stop and I have to say, "Lord, help me. Help me to sing in the Spirit, and help me to sing with understanding. That's a work in the house of God. Praying is a work in the house of God. Singing is a work in the house of God. When we sing 5 or 6 or 8 songs, if we were to sing for an entire hour, we ought to be so tired physically because we have sung with all of our heart. There's a work in singing. There's a work in praying. This idea that we come to the house of God and we don't work in the house of God, it's something that we need to correct in our thinking. I ought to be tired when we finish singing. Sometimes when we finish singing, I'm tired because I've put everything I had into singing. And when I finish preaching, I'm tired because I've tried to preach in the way that God would have me to preach. It's a work to preach. And it's work that we do in the house of God. The teaching that people do in the house of God, that teaching is a great work that the people of God need to be doing in the house of God and among the people of God outside the house of God. The people of God need to be doing all kinds of work. But as we're doing those works, we need to understand that unless God helps us and unless God blesses us, then that work does not honor and glorify Him. I want you to notice in Haggai, chapter 2, verse 4. And He's already said to them in verse chapter 1, He says, I am with you. But He says in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 4, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel. This is God speaking to these people. Speaking to Zerubbabel and Joshua and to the remnant of the people that are working in the house of God. God says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. If I can just feel God with me while I am working, then I do feel strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Go with me in your Bibles, please, to the New Testament. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the church of God at Corinth, he stresses the importance of the work and the labor that the people of God do in the house of the Lord. Remember now that we're looking at the text from Haggai chapter 1 and verse 14 that says that the people came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts. I thought about this on the way to church this morning. Are there those that come to the house of the Lord? Is it important that you come to the house of the Lord? There are some people that just coming to the house of the Lord takes a great effort. There are some of us that our health is relatively good, and so coming to the house of God is not a major work. But there are those that are sick, there are those that are weak, there are those that have physical problems, and it takes a great amount of work just for them to come to the house of God. But brethren, it's not just coming to the house of God, but it's working in the house of God that we're looking at this morning. We need to come to the house of God and work in the house of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. What's Paul doing here? Had he been to the church at Corinth, and had he preached, and had he worked, and he labored, had he worked like the church was a garden? He says, I have planted and Apollos has watered. But the only reason the church has grown is because God gave the increase. And that's true in all the work that we do. It's not you working alone or somebody else and you working together. It's you and others working together with God. It's the combined work as God blesses the work that we're able to serve the Lord in the house of God. I want you to come down to verse 7. It says, so then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So, the Apostle Paul is giving God all the glory for anything that's accomplished in the house of God. Brethren, I believe that we have a lot to be thankful for at the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. I believe that God has blessed this body of people in many, many different ways. But all glory must go to God. It doesn't matter what the church has accomplished. Did you know that the Trumpet of Truth magazine, that work is one of the most miraculous things that I've ever seen in my life. That God would take it and send it all over the United States and into foreign countries. And that so many people are being fed by the Trumpet of Truth. And it is due primarily to the work of those of you in this congregation who are willing to give your time and work and labor to do all the things that are necessary for the distribution of the magazine. And I thank God for those of you that are willing to work to spread the truth of salvation by grace and to spread the Word of God. It's a great work. It's an important work. We have the radio ministry, and brethren, there are those that work on that, and we're trying to get some things straightened out, but I want you to know that there are those who have special skills that they have to use their talents and their skills in order for every week for the radio program to be on the air in the morning and in the afternoon. It's a work. It's a labor. There are those who labor hours every week just so the radio program can be on the air. There are many, many other ministries, the bus ministry, and all the other work that's done that's an outreach to other people in the community and all over this world. The Lord has blessed the work of many people in this congregation. The Lord has blessed the work. Verse 9 says this. We're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. The Word of God says, for we are laborers. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you know that if you're not working, you're not laboring? Can you go to the house of God and not work? Can you just show up in the house of God and not be working at all? Now, brethren, everybody's not required to do the same thing. We all have different talents, different gifts, different abilities, but we all ought to be working. These people that are in the wheelchairs, is the same thing required of them that's required of those that have physical health to be able to pick things up and do things? No, God doesn't require the same thing. But I'm telling you, God does require them to do some work when they come to the house of God. They work to get to the house of God. But when they come into the house of God, if you'll listen to them, one of the dear sisters this morning, as we sang, "It is well with my soul," she was sitting there and singing the song. And then she said, thank you, Lord, when we finished that song. Listen, brethren, she knew God had blessed her to be able to sing, but she knew the wonderful blessing of feeling God with her while she was singing. You see, the text says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, we are laborers together with God. Look at that now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, we are laborers. We're workers together with God. Isn't that what God had said back there in the book of Haggai? When he says, and the people came to the house of God, he says, and God said, I will be with you. When you go to the house of God, to work in the house of God, when you go to labor in the house of God, God says, I'll be with you. God is with laborers. When you want to serve the Lord, when you want to work, when you want to honor God, when you want to glorify God, when you want to spend time doing things that serve the people of God and thereby serving the Lord is with you. And the Lord will bless you to be strong in all of that labor. So he says, we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. I'm not going to read the rest of this, but I'm telling you, brethren, this whole chapter, especially through verse 15, is talking about the importance of the people of God working in the house of God. This chapter is talking about the fact that God is going to judge every man's work. Can a man be a preacher? Can I be preaching every Sunday and it not be pleasing to God at all? Absolutely. Can I do things for self-glory rather than to honor and glorify God? Absolutely. And when that's the purpose of anything I do, then that work is not acceptable to God. God is only pleased with the works that are done in the right spirit, that are done for the right purpose. If they're done to honor and glorify God, if they're done to help the people of God, if they're done to give God glory, and if we don't want personal recognition, then God is pleased with those kinds of works. They have to be the kind of works that God says to do. Did you know that there are many people today who are doing all kinds of work in churches, but it's not at all something found in the Word of God? Could we have a garage sale next Sunday to raise money for the church? Well, heads are going both ways. No, we couldn't, but yes, we could. We could. There are churches that have yard sales, and they'll have bake sales, and they'll have all of the kinds of things to try to raise money for the church. I'm telling you, brethren, that's a work. Those that get involved in that, they work hard. But it's not a work that God calls for in His holy word. There's only one way for money to be brought into the house of God, and that's through tithes and offerings. We're not supposed to be out there asking the world for money to run the Lord's church. It's the people of God. They're supposed to give out of a heart of love and gratitude to God, thanking God, knowing that He's the one that has given them everything they have. So you can do all kinds of works as a church and it not be work that God would have us to be doing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Word of God talks about how the Apostle Paul was so thankful. It seems to me that the church at Thessalonica was one, if not the most spiritual church the Apostle Paul ever wrote about. I think he loved them. I think he appreciated the works that they did more than any of the works of any of the other churches. Because the church at Thessalonica, they loved God. They served God. They came to the house of God. When they came to the house of God, they came to worship God. Is worship a work? Absolutely, worship is a work. They came to worship God. They came to sing songs of praise. They came to hear the Word of God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is thanking God for that church and for their labors and their works. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me ask you this. Which is more important, faith or works? Which is more important, faith or love? Well, look at the Word of God here, please. And I want you to see how God couples those things together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, the Word of God says, "We give thanks to God always for you all." And now who's he writing to? He's writing to the church of the Thessalonians. And he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith." I want you to hear the wording there. Remembering your work of faith. Which one's most important? You can't talk about which one's the most important. It's a work of faith. Work is important. Faith is important. Faith without works is dead. We need a work of faith. And Paul was thanking God for the church at Thessalonica. He says, "I thank God for your work of faith and your labor of love." Love in the Word of God is an active word. Brother Terry, if I say I love you, I better be showing you that I love you in some way. If we love one another, we have to be showing that love. It's a work to love somebody. It's a labor to love somebody. It's not a bad labor. It's a good labor. You enjoy doing things for those that you love. So it's labor, but it's a good work. There are some people that really like their work, by the way. There are some people that enjoy their work. Did you know that? There are people, I'm not talking right now about working in the house of God. I'm going to get to that, but right now I'm talking about there are people that really enjoy the jobs that they have. They get up every morning to go to work and they are glad to go to work. They love their work. Work is not a labor and work is not a task. Work is not something they despise, but they love to work. My granddaddy was a farmer all of his life and he loved to work. You don't set your, I don't think they had an alarm. I don't think they had an alarm. They just woke up. And he was out there in the field with his mules waiting for the sun to come up. He loved it. Planting and growing crops and having cows and pigs and chickens and all of that. He loved it. Was it work? It was work. But it was something he enjoyed, something he had great pleasure in. The same thing's true if the people of God love God. Working in the house of God is not something where you feel like, I gotta go work at the house of God. It's, thank you, Lord. I look forward to this work because it's a work of faith and it's a labor of love. And Paul thanked God for this church because of their work of faith and their labor of love. Look at chapter 2 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He thanked God again for them. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, for this cause also, has he already thanked God for them because of their work in faith and labor of love? Now he says, we thank God also without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us. Now had Paul been preaching to them? Had they heard the word of God? Did you know sometimes people reject the word of God and say, I don't have to do what you tell me to do. It's all right, folks. You don't have to do what I tell you to do. You don't have to do what God tells you to do. You don't have to do what the Bible tells you to do. But you will give an account. You will give an account for what you do and what you don't do in your service to God. And when you have heard the word of God and you harden your heart and you rebel against the word of God and you say, well, I'm not rebelling against God. I'm just rebelling against that preacher. I want you to know that when the word of God is preached and you rebel against the word of God, you've rebelled against God. And the church at Thessalonica, when they received the word of God, which they heard by Paul, they received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know what happens when a child of God hears the word of God and they believe the word of God? You know what they do? They get to work. They do what the word of God says. The word of God effectually works in those that believe. Now, if you don't believe God, you don't believe it's the Word of God, if you don't believe that's the truth of God's Word, then you can rebel against it. But if you believe that this is the Word of God, and you're listening to the Word of God, and you're not trying to rebel against the Word of God, and you're not trying to just pick out parts of the Word of God that you like and that fit into your lifestyle, if you're willing to do whatever God says, it will work in your life. It'll cause changes in your life. It effectually works in those that believe. Go with me just a moment back to the book of Nehemiah. And I'm not going to go through the entire book of Nehemiah, but you know, I think that if you want to study the subject of working, that probably the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, they're as pretty as anything in all the Word of God about working. They worked in the book of Ezra, they worked and worked, and they built the temple, and they worked in the book of Nehemiah, and they built the wall. And all the work that they did, God was with them, and God blessed them, and God gave them the strength that they needed in all the work that they were doing. But I want you to notice in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, the Word of God says that one of the reasons that they were able to build the wall and build the temple, it tells us in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, the Word of God says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof." And he tells us then, "For the people had a mind to work." Work. Work. Do you have to work hard so you can get into heaven when you die? Do you have to work hard so you can get into heaven when you die?
Yeah.
No. I'm sorry, sister, but it's no. You see, we don't work hard to get into heaven when we die. We're going to be in heaven when we die because Jesus finished His work.
Yeah.
We're going to be in heaven when we die because Jesus worked. We're going to be in heaven when we die because God worked in our behalf. And the Bible says that our eternal salvation is not of our works, not by our works, and not according to our works. And so some people then sit down and do nothing, and they don't know the rest of the story. And the rest of the story is God has a work for His people to do.
Amen.
A lot of work. Work that without God being with you, you can't complete the work. Work that without God helping you, you won't be strong enough to do the work. But it's a good work. And with God's help, We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With God helping us, it is a joy. You remember how David said this? David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Is that humility? What kind of work do you want? Did you know that in my ministry there have probably been at least a half a dozen members of the church who have come to me and said, "I feel like I'm called to preach. I feel like I would like to preach." Now, every one of those I've told, you're not even doing the basics of religion. You're not doing the first works. You're not visiting. You're not studying. You're not doing the other thing. God has called you to do something, but it's not to preach, at least not now. God doesn't call people to preach the word that aren't serving Him. There's a work for you to do. He may have some of you to preach the word one day, but right now that's not what He has for you to do. But He has a lot of work for us to do. A lot of work for you to do. David said, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God." And then, let me just say this in closing. When the prodigal son, we're talking about going to the father's house, aren't we? In Haggai chapter 1, verse 14, what did those people do? They came to the house of the Lord their God. They came and worked in the house of the Lord their God. You remember there was a prodigal son that he didn't want to work in his father's house, did he? He wanted to take his father's inheritance and go out. And he wasted his father's goods in riotous living. But there came a day when that son came back home. Have you ever seen sons come back home? You ever seen children of God that got away from God and seen them come back to the house of God? Did you know discipline works? That daddy, I thank God for that daddy that would not support his son once he left that house. I thank God for that daddy that said, "That's it. I'm not going after you. It's all over." But when that son came back home, and when that son repented, and that son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, but make me as one of thy hired servants." Was he willing to work when he came back home? Was he willing to work? Was he willing to do menial tasks? That's the kind of attitude that we all need. "Lord, just let me be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Let me be a hired servant in the house of my God. But Lord, please, let me work in your house, is my prayer for Christ's sake.